following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
Not. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library.
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hold on, let me check. Are we on? Hello? Oh, man. We were part of the old power outage yesterday, and we apologize for that. Nothing we can do about it. But, hey, I just want to say to the folks that did join us at the very end, we were on about 10, 12 minutes, Jeff said, and we threw out, say, hey, if you're listening, you know, we've been off the air for about an hour, 50 minutes to an hour. If you're listening to our, you know, send us an email or a tweet. I am astounded by the number of folks that hung with us, and we will get your prizes out to you, whatever it may be, T-shirt, gift certificate, combo meals from Big Daly's Deli. We got some other things that are going to be going on, Godfather's, so Hastings will help us out there as well. So thanks for sending in your emails and tweets. Really appreciate all the folks that listen to the Doug and Daddy Show every day, and I keep hearing they love Mondays, they love Fridays, because they know Jimmy Lang is going to be in the co-host chair. They do. They know if you're here, everybody else is safe throughout the world because you're right here.
That's probably true.
What do you think of these bowl games?
Very exciting. The last two were really good games.
You must have been yelling at the TV.
No, I wasn't yelling at the TV, but I would have been if Alabama would have got the ball back. You know, I was really glad to see when the 6 minutes to go, I just didn't think Oklahoma, it was either half the score or they were going to have to give up the ball on downs. And eventually they kind of did. But, boy, did they make some good play selection. They're on a couple screen passes and a tight end delay. Alabama was bringing the house and stopping the run. And they had to do something to milk the clock down. And they got themselves three first downs, which was really key. And then when they got the ball back, first time Alabama gets it, they fumble, touchdown. And then on the onside kick, that was not an attempt, they get the ball back again. So Alabama never really gets to run a second play, you know, after they scored to make the game 38-31. What do you think, Doug?
Well, my take on all of this is everybody that wants to say that Alabama wasn't prepared and didn't want to be there and all of this, if they didn't want to be there, and weren't prepared and didn't care, they would have got blown out. They didn't get blown out last night. So I don't want to hear the SEC people crying about this. Now, I will also say that I'm sure
I agree with what you're saying 100% too, that they wanted to be there. They wanted to win the game bad.
They wanted to win the game.
Yes.
Now, I can also probably say that they maybe weren't as fired up and I don't know if prepared is the word, but mentally focused as they would have been going into an SEC or a national championship game. I will give you that. So, two things that I will say right now about this college football season. Obviously, and somebody else can chime in if they want to, on the Dent Popper inbox, email us, give us a call, tweet us about the following statement. The two, and I haven't done a whole lot of indulging, I just know that these two teams, from the numerous times that I've watched them, the two teams that improved in my eyes in college football more than anybody else this season was the University of Oklahoma and Michigan State. If somebody else has another one out there, a team that improved vastly from the beginning of the season, and I know that Michigan State was always good and competitive, and they were 13-1, but let's face it, nobody picked Michigan State to win the Rose Bowl this year. A lot of people didn't even have them in their top 25, and they're going to end up most likely second or third in the country, depending on how this national championship game comes out. If Florida State takes care of Auburn and takes care of them decently by, let's say, Michigan State should be number two in the country because Alabama's already lost, and they're fourth, and Auburn, they'll slide down as well. And the SEC will take a little, they'll take a little punch to the jaw here for the first time in a decade.
Yeah, and, you know, to improve, to improve, you have to kind of look bad early in the season. You know, I mean, you know, you can't just say, hey, we improved because we were good and then we got better and better and better. You know, and which might be a case for Florida State to say, hey, hold on, you know, what about us? When did we get bad? You know, when did we not improve? But I agree, Oklahoma, they look really bad when they played Baylor on TV. That night when they played Baylor, they looked like they were going to have trouble beating then they won at Kansas State, at Oklahoma State, and then won the game against Alabama and did things to Alabama that made them look like a mediocre or a good football team. But at least, you know, they had some things where they just didn't look very good. And they had Alabama turned the ball over. And how about the pass rush Oklahoma got on Alabama's quarterback? I think they sacked him 6-7 times.
Yeah, and you know what? I hate seeing damsels in distress. But A.J. McCarron's girlfriend still, you know, it's okay to see her every once in a while on the screen. Two college football games tonight here on ESPN Radio. Ohio State, Clemson in the Orange Bowl, and the Cotton Bowl tonight. The old Big 8, Big 12, a matchup of Missouri and Oklahoma State. Coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show today, at the end of the program, Luke Hoover rescheduled. We can have him at the end of the program today to recap the NFL fantasy season, look ahead towards next year. And I know the fantasy postseason playoffs are becoming bigger and bigger. So if you've got a question for Luke, give us a tweet at ESPN 1460 1550. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, or Facebook is at ESPN Superstation. Also, Mike Perenio from the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas to preview the NFL playoffs. And right now, we are grateful to have Monty Kratzenstein, the former Husker, join us via the Bruce Furniture fan line. He came in yesterday and he turned the power off. But I think Monty, that's still because there's some Bo haters out there, and they threw that squirrel in the substation and he blew some stuff up.
They were afraid that we were going to be way too optimistic, weren't they? They were afraid that we were going to jump all over the bandwagon. By the way, I knew there wasn't quite enough room in that studio for you, Jimmy, and me, so that's why I had to phone in, because there isn't enough room for that much, well, that much personality in there.
Hey, there's plenty of room for that. Get yourself down here. I don't know where you're at, but get down here fast. Put your safety belt on and don't stop for anything.
He's getting the sand ready over at Nebraska Salt and Grain, because we got weather and all that.
We got rock, we got sand, we got ice slicer, we got the whole thing. That's what I'm doing.
Well, Monty, let's get into it here, because we won't have as much time to talk about it today as unfortunately we would have yesterday, but the Gator Bowl, and I want the first thought from you, because next week we are still putting together our Husker Roundtable where we have Sip and Sean Callahan and a variety of others discuss Nebraska. But I am, for the first time, a little concerned that Amir Abdullah might not come back to Nebraska next year, just listening to him after the Gator Bowl. I mean, anytime the actual player leaves the door open, your thoughts on what Amir should do, and if he goes, what that means for Nebraska's running game next year?
Well, first of all, it's really hard to tell when you're talking about a running back, because running back's a little bit different than some of the other positions, because typically the running backs don't get drafted so high anyway. So if he sends in all his information and those experts come back with the fact that he could go in the second round, you know, that's a pretty good argument. I don't know that he can improve his status that much next year. You know, the thing that you don't know is you don't know the kid very well, his situation at home. You know, a lot of guys, they want to take the money. They don't want to risk an injury. You know, the big argument is how much can he improve his stock? He had an incredible year. I mean, if he sticks around, he could be one of the greats of all time. He already is. If you look at the tape and look at the amount of tough yards and the different types of runs that he had, to me, he was phenomenal. And you know, those 4.5 yard runs and that he had, even in the bowl game, you know, the surge, the forward lean, the jump cuts, the catching the ball out of the backfield and making a guy miss, he's something else. So, you know, the good thing, I think, if you're rooting for him to come back, which most of us are, is, you know, he's going to have Ron Brown as you know, his mentor to come around, and Ron's going to be honest with him. He's going to tell him what he thinks he should do, and I think, you know, I think he's a kid that we just have to be happy for whatever he decides, because he's in a no-lose situation. But personally, yeah, that's the biggest, going into recruiting season, that's the biggest recruit that you can get is having him come back. I would compare it a little bit to Ndamukong Suh when he was considering about going to the NFL his senior year.
Monty Kratzenstein, former Husker tight end, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. All right, your thoughts on the Gator Bowl and the way Nebraska finished the season off, because as those of us that cover the Huskers, whether you do it on a daily basis or you go to every single practice, this is vastly different than what happened the last regular season game against Iowa.
Well, it speaks to the incredible ups and downs of a college football season, and you guys were talking earlier, and I totally agree with you about the two most improved teams, you know, OU and Michigan State, but then I hearken back to OU versus Baylor and OU versus Texas, you know, thinking, did any of us, after those games were over, would any of us guess what was going to happen last night? And so it's with the Nebraska team as well. It's amazing what a difference some time makes. You know, we had that debacle against Iowa, not just on the field, but on the sideline and also in the press conference, and everybody's so negative and so down. And, you know, a solid win against a good Georgia team all of a sudden changes your entire perspective going into next year. And that's the biggest thing what a bowl game does. We've been down both roads where we've lost a bowl game and we've just kind of tried to downplay it. Said, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a bowl game. But it's exciting to win a bowl game. It's nice for coaches as they go into recruits' homes to talk about it. It's a good feeling. There's optimism. And, you know, Nebraska basically finished a job they hadn't done so many times in other games in the past.
Hey, Monty, Jim Lang, and I thought one thing. I thought that, the game management was very intelligent when Nebraska played the game. They tried to keep our quarterback out of making turnovers. Most of the plays that we called were very at the best I could say conservative, you know. But we did when we got the ball at the 1 yard line. The one time we said, "Hey, what the heck? Let's just throw this thing up there and go 99 yards if we can," and we did. So there was some play selection too, but we did try to keep our quarterback out of trouble. And I think if you look back, how important that play was when we had the bobbled snap and how he got the ball out of the end zone and not have the safety and be able to get that place buys one more play.
I agree with you. And when you're looking at the game plan, I think everybody realizes that Tommy Armstrong is still, you know, a freshman quarterback. He's going to be very, very good, but we're an offense that has to stay on schedule. And one of the best things about that game was when we were running our inside zone plays, we changed it a little bit. You notice we ran the jet sweep action. We watched Tennessee, we watched Auburn and what they had done to attack Georgia. And we didn't really get anything out of it outside when we ran the jet sweeps to Turner, to Westerkamp, I think, ran another one, and Nunwa ran one the first play of the game. We didn't get anything out of that, but it's amazing how much that jet sweep action helps the inside zone game. And we were getting, know, we were getting 3.5-4 yards on an inside zone play, where now we're on schedule. You're second six, and then you have a quarterback who, you know, again, Tommy Armstrong is a versatile quarterback. He's a great leader. He's a young quarterback. He's not going to be a guy that we can put in third and long or second long situations and be successful very much of the time. So I thought that was a big, big part of our success, was staying on schedule with the inside zone play.
Talking with former Husker Monty Kratzenstein, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as Nebraska finish up the season with the win in the Gator Bowl at 9-4. Monty, you obviously went through your times and bided your time to get some snaps down there. What will the silver lining of all these injuries be besides getting some live snaps for next year? Everybody was hyped up on this could be the year, and obviously the injuries the number one reason that it wasn't.
Probably just what you mentioned, the biggest thing is getting snaps and creating depth. To be successful, you look at all the teams that are what we would term as successful. They have playmakers and they have depth. Now, we lost some playmakers to injury. We lost some depth to injury. But, you know, and I'll use a local kid as an example, Zach Sterup, you know, who was kind of forced into action. You know, I don't think anybody looks at him and says, oh, he was ready this year, but he was forced into action and played pretty well when he got some snaps. You know, he didn't play very much at all in the bowl game, but he was a kid that, you know, started a game in a meaningful game earlier in the year because of injuries. So, you know, kids like that, you can't create that sort of opportunity in practice. And that's what it's going to do, is it's going to create a bunch of depth for a bunch of guys. You know, we're going to miss those seniors, you know, the guys like, you know, Spencer Long and Taylor Martinez and Siante Evans and Thad Randall and just good guys, quality people. But the amount of young players that we had playing and the depth that was created because of all that adversity, I think will be a benefit next year.
Monty, before we run out of time here, I know you had a lot of things that you wanted to touch on yesterday, and so instead of me trying to ask the question that will lead you into that, I want to give you a minute or two here to give us a thought that we haven't touched on yet.
Well, there's two different statistics that were thrown out, and I took a little bit of abuse just because I tweeted you know, a statistic. I didn't say it was great, good, or bad. I just said, you know, made that comment that, you know, the last 6 years only three teams have won 9 games, and that's Alabama, Oregon, and Nebraska. And I tweeted, you know, that surprises me. Of course, you know, the haters got it turned around to yeah, but we've lost 4 games during that time, and you know, whatever. But, you know, that's an interesting stat, and I know you guys, you know, might talk about that again or have talked about that. But the other thing that's interesting to me, and I don't know how much of an opinion I have, is that Nebraska is 9-0 in the last 9 games that have been decided by a touchdown or less. Okay? So when you look at that statistic, a lot of times you think of winning close games, you look at, that comes down to coaching, that comes down to execution, which in our blowout losses, our coaching and our execution and our discipline and those sort of things have been our bugaboo. So it doesn't fit together. You know, that statistic does not go along with the big picture. So I think it's interesting. I don't know if there's a reason. I don't know if there's, you know, what it is. But, you know, I'd like to get your guys' thoughts on each of those.
Well, I think one thing is clock management. Nebraska, I've always thought Pelini, there's times where he doesn't use the clock the way I want him to. But there's times where his defense, when he's got his defense out there, he doesn't put them in a predicament. He is a defensive coach. He calls timeout more than any coach I know in the nation when we're on defense. I mean, he really will stop to look at the things, and he really tries to keep our defense. So I think there's things he does in close game management in close games where they don't get to run their favorite play and their best play at you. He's going to take that stuff away. So I think that's one thing Pelini does. Your thoughts?
Good point. That's a good point. You know, the other thing that I've mentioned before is I really think that one of the struggles that we've had is when things start going bad, not just one bad play, but two bad plays lead to 3 to 4, and those big momentum shifts like UCLA games and, you know, that big second quarter and so on. I really think that the passion, you want to say, the intensity, the passion of the sidelines sometimes hurts that. And, you know, remember, I come from an era where people criticize Coach Osborne for being too boring and too blah and not being excited. But I really think the negative emotion does affect the team sometimes. And I think that's when you looked at Oklahoma last night, you talked about which team wanted to be there. And I thought, again, I agree with you, Doug, that both teams wanted to be there. Oklahoma, boy, their sideline was excited. Their sideline, their assistant coaches, their strength coaches, their people were excited. Nebraska was the same way. You know, and I attribute a lot of that to a leader like Kenny Bell. Kenny Bell, when the defense would make a stop or a turnover, he was out there waving a towel. He was meeting them out on the field. Guys like that, they create positive energy. Conversely, when bad things happen, if you have some guys that create some negative energy, I think it can snowball.
Just a minute left here with Monty Kratzenstein. One thing, just you were wanting our opinion on your thoughts there. You look at Nebraska when they lose football games, and I know it's part of the game, but if Nebraska went through a season in positive turnover margin, they wouldn't lose football games. Look at the games they lose. Why are they losing those games? Turnovers. There is no, I want to say there is no other reason. I'm sure there is, but that is by far the hugest reason that Nebraska loses football games. Turnovers, then maybe penalties off frustration from those turnovers. On the Bob Stoops point, being around and getting to cover a couple of those Nebraska-Oklahoma games and the Big 12 championship game, if people think that Bo Pelini is psychotic and a bit of an a-hole, Bob Stoops is worse, and there is no doubt about it. And they grew up together, so it's all the same background. But we've got a couple of emails here. I don't want to get into the Ed Cunningham thing because he just hates Nebraska, apparently. But Nick Saban throws his headset last night. Yeah. Everybody gets it on TV, and everybody's pointing out in Nebraska that they don't make a big deal about Nick Saban throwing his headset. Is that because he's won two national championships?
Well, it's easier. It's a lot easier to not throw your headset and get upset when you're winning a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. No pressure.
And by
no
the way, I'll see your Bob Stoops and I'll raise you a Mike Stoops.
Yes, exactly.
Because I'll tell you something right now. You talk about sometimes there's blind rage on the sidelines. Oh, my goodness. I mean, that is craziness.
Hey, you're right about that, too. I think when you're winning and you're 32-3, sometimes your colors don't come out. You know what I mean? I mean, your true colors come out, and they really do. And all coaches, there's a lot of really good high school coaches in the state of Nebraska that I officiate their games, and I do appreciate these people, is when they lose, they don't blame the officials right away. There are certain people, though, out there that want to do that. And I felt, you know, like that on that call, which was definitely pass interference, he went wild. He went wild through his headset, and he was going to try to blame that official for, hey, he needed to talk to his defensive back. That's who made the mistake. It wasn't the referee.
Monty.
Well, and I think there was some frustration over the whole big picture, because I think that call was the nail in the coffin that they were going to get another first down and be able to run the clock down to, you know, like they did. And so, you know, when I look at a Nick Saban or look at those guys, I don't know how much, you know, you have to look at the big picture. You're right, though. When things go bad, I think there aren't too many coaches that are not going to show that sort of thing. And that's just the way it is.
Former Gothenburg Swede and Nebraska Cornhusker Monty Kratzenstein. Monty, thanks so much for giving us some time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks for giving us time yesterday, even though the power got knocked out. And keep coaching those young kids up. We appreciate it.
You bet. Always nice to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Monty. Monty Kratzenstein here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Anytime we're talking Husker football, we're also talking TNL irrigation. TNL says now is the time to get your pivots taken care of, because before you know it, it'll be time, even though it doesn't feel like it now, for the 2014 season to get underway. TNL will inspect your machine from the pivot point to the overhang. Your annual preventative maintenance program today should be scheduled with your local TNL dealer. You can find out who that is if you don't already know at TLIRR.com. TNL Irrigation Systems, easier on you for a lifetime. When we come back, we're heading to Vegas, baby. Mike Perenio, director of the Race and Sportsbook at the Mandalay Bay.
J-E-R-S-E-Y-S, go!
Lace them up.
Straight away, three.
Strap it on.
Three to try to win it.
Pull it over. You're going to Jersey's, where the high-def big screens put you there, along with great food, cold drinks, great fans. It's simple. Jersey's attracts real sports fans, the kind like you, who wear the team colors on their back, their loyalty on their sleeves, bleed their team's colors. Jersey Sports Bar, Vista Point, North Kearney. It's like a courtside ticket.
For the win. Up, got it, the buzzer. Oh, my.
ESPN Radio, bringing you directly to the biggest events in sports.
It is gone!
From opening day of baseball.
Tag out!
Right through the World Series.
2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss and it's over. The Boston Red Sox have won the World Series.
Whether it's Kobe, LeBron, or D-Wade, when the NBA tips off, ESPN Radio is right there until a champion is crowned.
Champions again! The Miami Heat have won the 2013 NBA title!
And when the magic of bowl season arrives, ESPN Radio is your home for the BCS.
The Crimson Tide, they are the national champions. Back to back, they've done it again.
The biggest events in sports can be found right here on ESPN Radio.
This Saturday, it's a wild card edition of the NFL as we bring you a special playoff doubleheader. Hi, this is Scott Graham. Join me and the rest of our Westwood One crew for all the action. First, Andrew Luck and the Colts host Jamal Charles and the Kansas City Chiefs. Then, Drew Brees and the Saints head to Philadelphia to take on the NFC East champion Eagles. The NFL playoffs are right here.
Saturday afternoon beginning at 3 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We'll see, skies turn partly to mostly sunny as we head through the day today with a high at 42. Southwest winds will stay gusty in 15 to 25. Tonight, skies turn partly to mostly cloudy with a low near 20. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 28.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram ready for you in 2014. Be sure to see them on South 2nd Avenue. We'll have Andy in here next week talking about what's going on in 2014. But we know that every single day you can check them out online at thinkmidway.com. Their complete inventory is located there. You can find out exactly what the car looks like. There's a little tour inside and outside of each vehicle that they have on their website that is on their lot. The color, the mileage, the price, all the ways you can get signed up for financing and every single detail that you would want to know about purchasing a new or pre-owned vehicle for Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac or Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram can be found at the all-new thinkmidway.com or just stop by and see them on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Oh, we are just a month away. Do you realize we're now less than a month away from Super Bowl 48 in beautiful New Jersey, where we will hopefully have a decent weather. But we're talking about weather, getting ready for this wild card round. The weather in Vegas is always superb. Mike Perenio, director of the Race and Sportsbook, joins us. Doug Duda, Jim Langan on today's Doug and Daddy Show. Happy New Year, Michael. Have you recovered from the party?
Yes, we're all back and ready to go and finish off the year in college football and get ready for the Super Bowl. If it's cold there and they have to black it out, you can still watch it in Vegas if everyone wants to come here.
So. Well, I want to jump into the NFL playoffs here in a little bit, but we've just finished up kind of recapping Nebraska's season with the Gator Bowl and all that, and you still have a couple of big football, college football games out there, including the national championship game on Monday night, Florida State and Auburn. After seeing what has happened a little bit in the SEC, has the line tweaked at all? Have you seen some money coming in a little more on Florida State?
A little bit, but, you know, it's still early on that game. People are still concentrating, you know, especially on today's two big games with the Cotton and the Orange Bowl. So I think we'll see a little more action after these games on what's going to go on Monday night. So the Saturday and Sunday, the Encompass Bowl, GoDaddy.com Bowl, those are, you know, not as big as today's game. So I think after today we'll start seeing the real action coming up on the championship game.
Mike, I haven't figured it out yet, but how much did my $100 Moneyline parlay on Texas Tech, Central Florida, and Oklahoma come out?
That'd be quite a good one. I mean, it seems like the, you know, Oklahoma was almost 6-1 just by itself last night. So, you know, I've seen some. We didn't have any on those three teams, but I've seen some NFL three-team moneyline parlays that you know, pay 70-1. So you can moneyline parlays can be profitable, but they're also tough to hit. We had some big money line parlays, including on Seattle when they were at home and lost, that went down the drain. And we call those bridge jumpers. They bet a lot of money on three-team money lines that they think they can't lose, and then Seattle lost that game at home. We made some money off that.
I think you guys are doing okay on the college bowl season, too, aren't you?
Yeah, it's you know, the dogs seem to do well. It's all about who really wants to play. You know, it's not, it's tough to handicap bowl games. The best teams don't win. It's the teams that you know, if you do enough research, they've got you know, senior laden team that's never been to a major bowl or hasn't been to a bowl for 2 years. They maybe want to play. They've been to three bowls and major bowls, and then now they're in a minor bowl. Maybe they just want to go home and finish the semester out. So it's really about who wants to play this time of year except for the championship game. That all changes next year with the playoff system, and there'll be at least a few more meaningful bowls.
Hey, Jim Langen here. Hey, did the on the last 2 days, I just kind of looked like about 60% of the people were taking Alabama, and about 40% were taking Oklahoma. Is that about where it was at your casino there or not?
Yeah, I'd say that's about right. The people that did bet Oklahoma were wearing OU jerseys usually, and the neutral people were betting Alabama. So that came out about right, and had a lot of people come to the counter with their red OU jerseys and go, I should bet them to win the game outright, and then no, I'll take the 17 points. So it was hard for them to even pull the trigger on the money line last night.
We're talking with Mike Perenio. He's the director of the Race and Sportsbook and the head lifeguard at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. Always a pleasure to talk with him on the Doug and Daddy Show. When it gets to this time, Mike, you always hear the guy, man, I got Auburn at 250-1 to start the season. What were the real odds on Florida State and Auburn?
Well, Florida State wasn't as high. Actually, Auburn was pretty high. There's some, not at our particular properties, but there's some definite liability on Auburn. You know, with Alabama in there, you know, the conference and stuff, anybody else besides Alabama was good odds to start with. And if I remember right, at the beginning of the year, I think every single there's some place to put out lines for the whole year. I think Alabama, there were double digits in every game last year before the season, favorites, and even against A&M. So I think their closest line was around 10 on every single game. So anybody but Alabama was good odds. And I know there were places that had Auburn higher than 250-1 at one point in the season. So it's one of those things. If you guess right, it's nice. And now you look at the championship game. Auburn, who beat Alabama, is a huge dog. It's kind of amazing to me.
Well, let's talk NFL. Let's jump into the playoffs here. I always look at those odds and go, really? Yeah. But who is the team, we talked about it before, that you believe is red hot, that's got the odds coming in and has snuck in? I know the Eagles kind of snuck in under the radar. Your favorite team, the Packers, have snuck in under the radar. Which one are you guys worried about?
You know, we're okay on anything on that as far as that goes. The bigger surprise is usually better for us. Yeah, it's interesting this year. You want to find a team that's playing well and that's hot. And you know, I'm not convinced the Eagles, although they're playing well, I'm not convinced that they can continue playing the way they are. Although, you know, they do have, as much as they talk about how good a offense and quick, and they run the ball a lot. I mean, they're the leading rusher, but the defense is what wins it. I mean, you saw the Giants when they won, it was about their defense. Even the Packers when they won playing through the wild cards, sure they had Aaron Rodgers, but if you can get a decent running game and a good defense, you know, that makes all the difference in the world. And you know, that's what I look for. The Bengals look like they've got a little bit of that. They've got the offensive line so they can run the ball. And the Colts started running the ball late in the year. I would definitely. This year looks different than other years to me. I'm not sure the AFC is for real with Denver and New England. I mean, it seems to me like there's a lot better teams in the NFC this year, and I would like to see Denver and New England. I think they've got big weaknesses, and they're 9-5 on Denver, and New England's 3-1. It just seems to me I'd rather bet an NFC team to win the Super Bowl this year from top to bottom, you know, including Carolina Panthers, who are down to 3-1 now. Oh. There's a team that can run the ball, has a good quarterback that can run the ball also, and has a fantastic defense. That team looks to be peaking pretty good.
Yeah, hey, last time we were on, I told one of the things I mentioned was San Diego looked pretty good playing at Denver and at Kansas City, and then they had to hang on and have a lot of help just to get into the playoffs. With Phil Rivers, I just think this team may, and I know they beat the Kansas City JVs last week, but I think this team may, if they can win that first game, you know, they could gain some momentum, and it might be, and, you know, there's not that many games left. You know, you win the first game, you don't have to win many more to get to the Super Bowl.
No, and I think because, like I mentioned, Denver and New England, I think they're kind of phony favorites in there that can be beat. There's another team that all of a sudden has a running game too, and you got Phillip Rivers. So you know, coming out of there to get to the Super Bowl, you know, I think they all have legitimate chances in the AFC. That seems like it's a toss-up to me. Anybody could win that. It's just that when they get to the Super Bowl, I don't think there's much hope for the AFC to win the Super Bowl this year. Go out on a big limb.
A couple minutes left here with Mike Perenio, director of the Race and Sportsbook. He's with us from the Mandalay Bay here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Three of the home teams are favored this weekend. The only road team that is favored is San Francisco, and what they just continue to talk about here is going to be brutal, brutal conditions, worse than the Giants game up there a few years back. They're talking 30 below wind chill. How does that affect the line, if at all?
You know what? It would, if it was any other team besides San Francisco, I think it would really affect the line. Growing up in 80 below wind chill in Nebraska, I go, what are they complaining about? You know, the only thing is with Colin Kaepernick is he can throw the ball like a 90-mile fastball. So the weather doesn't affect his throwing like it would some quarterbacks, like Peyton Manning. You know, he can throw the ball on a direct line through wind, and you can see in cold weather that the guys with the strong arms are way less affected than the guys that are maybe touch passers. You're trying to be a touch passer in, you know, 10 degrees or 0 degrees with a little wind, it's not going to work. But a guy like Kaepernick, I think that's probably why they're a favorite in that game, is they don't, I don't believe they think his passing, when he does pass, is going to be affected as much as maybe some other quarterbacks that are touch passers. And it's true. I mean, you've seen it in this year already. When you go into cold weather and wind, guys that can throw the ball on the line and with velocity tend to do well in cold weather.
Michael, it appears to me that of the four games this weekend, there's only one game that's really had much movement of the line, and that is, it looks like money is coming in early on the Kansas City Chiefs. Is that true, and your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when I came back to talk to you guys, I think the line's 1.5 now, and I wouldn't surprise to see it go farther down. That's surprising to me that the Chiefs, you know, started out so well, but you don't want a team that starts 9-0 and then squeaks into the playoffs. That's not the kind of team you want to look for this time of year. You want the other way, team that lost 4 out of their first 5 and then is rolling now. So the Colts at home, it just seems like that's, the public's wrong on that, and I'm not quite sure what's going on with that game. And, you know, it seems like it's everybody's tout to take the Chiefs now. So we'll see. I like their coach, and the beginning of the year they looked like they were unstoppable, but their defense went from hardly giving up any points to giving up lots of points at the end of the season, and that's tough to do, and they're just going the wrong direction, in my opinion.
All right, two things before we wrap up with Mike Perenio, the Mandalay Bay. You've touched and you've kind of hopped around. Let's get it down to the brass tacks. Who is Mike Perenio putting his ticket on to win the Super Bowl today?
there's no good odds anywhere this time of year. Sometimes you get some decent odds.
Mm-hmm.
I think Vegas has learned its lessons with these wild card teams running the table out and winning the Super Bowl, because you would think you would be able to get a wild card team at 20-1 or 15-1 at least, and the best odds you have now are San Diego at 10-1 to win the AFC, and I just don't think anybody can come out of the AFC. So I would look for an NFC team first of all, and if push comes to shove, I think a team that has a chance to do it is the Panthers, and they've got good coaching, they've got a running game, especially when you consider that the quarterback can run, and their defense at times this year has been dominating, and it's a game of matchups. But the Panthers at 7-1, I think look better than most, and I think I'd take the Panthers.
And I know the Mandalay Bay Charter is coming out to the Tri-Cities to pick up our gang for the Super Bowl. Let us know what's going on up to the Super Bowl and that weekend with Mandalay Bay and the MGM properties.
You know what? It's just nonstop. We have concerts. We had Maroon 5 here for 2 days over New Year's, and how we got the AFC, the playoffs, the NFC playoffs. This time of year, it's actually pretty busy. People make trips out here every year for the wild card weekend, for the finals weekend, and we see a lot of the same people here. But you got to come out for the football, and the rest of the country needs to come out here for the weather. We were in the 60s yesterday, so you don't need much more incentive than that. The problem is getting out of an airport where you're at to get here, because once you're here, you might stay here a while. Getting back might be hard.
Mike, I know there's a lot of people that listen to the show that have been to Vegas, but they maybe avoid Super Bowl weekend because they think it's a madhouse, and it is a lot of fun out there. But if you were going to give somebody a piece of advice that would be coming out for the first time during Super Bowl weekend, besides hanging out at the Bay, what would that advice be?
Don't go to the actual Super Bowl unless you want it to be 5 below 0. I mean, I shouldn't say that, I guess. But you know what? The Super Bowl is always nice here. You don't have to worry about the weather. I think on your guys' show, I'm pretty sure I predicted a while back ago that it would be 0 degrees in the Super Bowl, and ironically at Lambeau the storm had passed and it was like 50 degrees on Super Bowl Sunday. Maybe next year they should put the Super Bowl in Lambeau Field and see how that works out. But they're having problems even with these playoff games selling out because of the weather. And, they're going to have, unless they're trying real hard, I think companies are volunteering to buy up blocks of tickets so that they don't have to black these games out. But, with the advent of HDTV and sports books like this, where you can come to Vegas and do all kinds of stuff, go to shows, go to nightclubs, there's a lot of incentive for people to come to places like this and even stay home and watch the game. So it's an interesting situation that's developing, and it's not common now. It's definitely a different type of event, Super Bowl, and it's so much fun here.
Yeah, hey, you're right about that. The Colts and Chiefs game, somebody bought 1,600 tickets. A corporation bought 1,600 because the game was going to be blacked out. So, when I heard that, I thought, that's amazing. But then I also was driving, and how cold it is in Nebraska, and I was going to think, now would I want to sit in that stadium, go park my car, or watch it at Mandalay Bay? And I just didn't go to Mandalay Bay and take the money I could make on those tickets. And
well, the bottom line is, though, if it's a Nebraska game, it doesn't matter how cold it is. The fans, we will sit in any weather and fill the stadium. That does Nebraska. But the pros are a little different, I think. And Colts, it's indoors even. I guess they don't want to go to the game because it's too cold to drive there. So it's amazing to me. But like I said, you and I both know we've got a giant big screen here. It's like, with HD and stuff, you're almost like on the sidelines on these screens, and then when you kick in the restaurants, the nightclubs, and Mandalay, you don't even have to leave the property. We have everything you'd ever want, so it's a whole new ball game. And we have all your listeners out here all the time throughout the year, and they come up, and I really appreciate them coming up and introducing themselves, and And we really enjoy doing the show and having the feedback from your listeners coming out here.
Well, Michael, we'll let you get back to work. I know the fans that come out there always come back with nothing but great things to say about not only the Mandalay Bay, but yourself and the way you treat all the folks that listen to our show and from Nebraska. So we'll let you get back to work. Hopefully it's a great 2014. We can continue to do this on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll see you at the Super Bowl.
We'll be here.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Thanks.
Mike Perenio, director of the Race and Sportsbook. He's a Nebraska native, and he's just a great guy. And again, don't be shy. When you go to Vegas, stop by the Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook. Say, hey, is Mike around? Love to meet him. Love to see what's going on. And he's going to be able to help you out, take care of a few things. Maybe you've got questions. Maybe there's something you want to go see or do. Don't worry, Mike takes care of the Nebraska folks. Tell them you heard it on the Doug and Daddy Show. We do need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Before we do, New Year's, oh, ring it in, baby. You have got the NFL to watch this weekend. You've got the National Championship game on Monday night. You can never run out of great food. Grab your favorite snacks at Troutman's Quality Meats. It's a grill's best friend. And, of course, with some of the great snacks that they have, you can take them to any NFL or bowl game party. Snack sticks, summer sausages. Oh, wow. How about picking up a boneless ham? Perfect for making sandwiches as well. Fresh ground chuck and ground beef. Perfect for your favorite chili recipe. Oh, maybe get the cheese, and then you put the meat in there, and then you dip that out. Oh, so good. And it's only better when you shop at Troutman's Quality Meats. Of course, they've got the beverages to wash it all down as well. Great selection. If you've tried them, you know how great it is. If you never have, stop by and see them on East Highway 30 in Kearney. Open 6 days a week at Troutman's Quality Meats. When we come back, we're going to talk fantasy football with Luke Hoover and a little more. Oh, by the way, that three-team parlay money line on Central Florida, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech, Jeffrey said it would have paid for $100. On getting those three right, $27,500. We'll be right back.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, it's a fact that they have the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, and even your freedom. If you've received a letter from the IRS, don't ignore it. Your problem will only continue to get worse. Here's the good news. The IRS has recently released new programs geared at helping struggling taxpayers, where you may now qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe, including penalties and interest, or you may qualify for other special programs. If you're being audited, have years of unfiled tax returns, have a federal tax lien, or worse yet, are being issued a wage garnishment or bank levy, listen carefully. Authority Tax Services expert staff of ex-IRS agents, attorneys, and CPAs can immediately protect you from IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. Call 800-222-1282. 800-222-1282. 800-222-1282.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Well, We'll see skies turn partly to mostly sunny as we head through the day today with a high at 42. Southwest winds will stay gusting in 15 to 25. Tonight, skies turn partly to mostly cloudy with a low near 20. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 28.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Jimmy was talking about, and we heard about it on ESPN National, a couple of supermarkets, Kroger's in Cincinnati and Meijer in Indianapolis. They bought those tickets so that things wouldn't be blacked out. Fox TV affiliates in Green Bay, Milwaukee, and Wausau, Wisconsin bought the tickets to avoid the blackout there. These are Jimmy's picks. Ooh, let's don't talk about those.
Well, I said...
I thought you were on the underdogs, brother.
I said bet every underdog at the beginning. I said just bet all... There's 35 games and you take every underdog. And then you said, hey, who, you got anything else you kind of like? And I did bet under in the Oklahoma-Alabama game. But Doug, see, you got to remember, I also bet under the second half. And it was good.
Okay.
You know, but I mean, not everybody gets to do that. And then the other thing was, you know, I play Oklahoma pretty heavy after I watched some other games. And we talked about the Pac-10, you know, how they looked. And we said, hey, whatever you do, stay away from the one Pac-10 team because they didn't want to be there. And that was Arizona State. So, I mean, you know, there's, I mean, we got to be a little careful. But can I really to come out and say, here's the...
Those are feelings.
Yeah, so we're not going to.
Well, let's get some feelings from Luke Hoover of RotoWire at RotoWire.com. Happy New Year, Luke. How are you? Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show.
I'm doing great, guys. Happy New Year to you guys.
Well, it's great to have you on, and I think this year, and I think it's just going to continue to grow, fantasy football in the playoffs is getting bigger, and now it's not just on really the NFL.com website. Obviously, everybody has a little something going on. Are you in one, and can you explain how it works for the one that you are in? Because I'm in a couple different ones.
Yeah, the primary one I'm in, you know, you pick get a X amount of units to build your team. This particular one, you're given 300, and every player is assigned, you know, so many units, and you have a certain number of transactions to make, you know, over the course of the playoffs. So you kind of want to be strategic as far as, you know, obviously stocking up on some talent that is going to play in the wild card weekend. You're going to have, you know, I built a team that's playing entirely in the wild card weekend, and then I'll try to hopefully rely on some of the guys I think are going to win. So I'm actually invested pretty heavily in the Niners and the Bengals right now, so... I see both those teams going on, and Andy Dalton actually played. You know, he's had his bad moments, but still put up a lot of touchdowns, so I went with him at quarterback. A little leery of Kaepernick in the cold weather. I think the Niners are going to run it a fair amount.
I'm a little scared because we're on the same wavelength, Luke. That hasn't happened much this year. So I see that on the RotoWire website, you guys are really high on Frank Gore, but, man, I know it's cold. You want to run the ball, but I'm almost to the point where I'm thinking about staying away from everybody in that Green Bay-San Francisco game, except maybe popping a defense on there. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's tough, like you said, because it could be a major impact, the weather, but at the same time, I could see both of those teams putting up over 20 points, you know, a few touchdowns each way. The talent offensively on both sides of the ball is tremendous. And, frankly, for me, the reason I'm going heavy with the 49ers, the Packers defense just hasn't been stopping anybody. I don't think the cold weather is going to be much of a factor in that, particularly on the ground. So I like Gore a lot. You know, they've been getting just gashed by rushing teams, and Matt Forte ripped them up last week in a cold weather game. You know, probably not even close to these conditions, but I think Frank Gore is healthy enough, you know, certainly motivated, wants to get back to that title game. So I expect him to have a big week.
Talking with RotoWire, RotoWire.com, Luke Hoover. Let's look at the biggest one that's out there, Luke, which is the NFL.com website. It's fun. I don't particularly care for the way they run it because you basically have to pick the guys that are going to be in the Super Bowl right now. And if you hit it, then it really doesn't matter which guys you played because they're going to be four times the points when you get to the Super Bowl and you accumulate all that. But as you're familiar with that site and that fantasy game, what's your advice to the people as they get ready to put their NFL.com playoffs together?
Invest in those Broncos. I know a lot of people want to say, you know, Peyton Manning can't win in the cold. He's not, you know, the clutch playoff quarterback. I'd be really quite surprised if they can't get in, and win a couple games to get into the Super Bowl this year. There's just too much talent on that offense. I know, you know, you're missing Von Miller. and then they could suffer a little bit because of that. But I don't see another AFC contender, you know, that's strong enough to go into Denver and outscore them. You know, even if Peyton Manning maybe struggles a little bit, Sean Marino and Monty Ball can both run the ball effectively, and none of those defenses out in the AFC are that strong to slow them down. So I would go heavy in the Broncos. You know, it's a tough format. I also like, obviously, Seattle. You know, I picked them, not unfortunately, in my RotoWire blog in the preseason, but I did think that they both had strong chances of making the Super Bowl. You know, I also like the Eagles to at least get two games. So, you know, you're probably not going to get him advancing too far, but they're a hot team, and LeSean McCoy has just been tearing it up, you know, this season, the league rushing leader. So I wouldn't mind investing in him, you know, if you weren't able to get a guy like Marshawn Lynch or Sean Marino.
Talking with Luke Hoover here on the Doug and Daddy Show about the fantasy football playoffs. If you do have a fantasy question for Luke, a question about maybe getting one started, maybe who you should pick, you've got a little time to fire those off to us here, the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, or you can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. The Facebook is ESPN Superstation. As you look at this weekend's games, you've mentioned a little bit about liking Andy Dalton. We've talked about a couple of the three games. Let's talk about New Orleans, Philadelphia. It would seem like Nick Foles would be able to throw the ball, and we know that Drew Brees can, but the Saints just seem to be a totally different Houston Texans type of team when they go on the road. What do you think about that game?
Yeah, you know, it's tough to read because Brees has struggled so much on the road this season, and that whole Saints team in general has. But, you know, the Eagles still finished dead last in passing yards allowed. So I think Brees will be able to get some numbers. My only concern there is I just don't really see New Orleans advancing. You know, their defense has had its moments this year, but that Eagles offense is too explosive, has a lot of weapons. Nick Foles has been really consistent. You know, on their home field, I really see Philly, you know, making it a bit of a high-scoring affair. And I think Brees will get yards and a couple touchdowns, but I just don't think they have the overall talent on that offense to keep up. You know, particularly I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball that well against the Eagles. We saw DeMarco Murray struggle last week, and that Eagles defense, you know, as maligned as they've been at times this year and struggling against the pass, they've actually been pretty good against the run. So I think Brees is going to have to throw it quite a bit. I like Jimmy Graham and Brees to put up numbers, but again, they're, you know, possibly, you know, one-week options.
As we take a look down the road here, questions about if you're going to follow the New England Patriots with all their running backs, and there's a couple other teams that I'll let you expound on, but there's some of these teams that have a variety of wide receivers and a variety of running backs in their stable. Start with New England and maybe pick another team or two where you think they finally maybe settled on somebody.
Well, with New England, you know, after his performance the last couple of weeks, you have to feel like LeGarrette Blount is probably going to be the lead back there. You know, he's really off, just too hard to bring down. He's so big, he's strong, he's got a little bit of burst coming out of the backfield. He's not, you know, as slow as you expect him to be when he gets into the open field. I still feel like they maybe don't trust Stephen Ridley enough. Blount's now stolen, you know, all the goal line opportunities with Ridley having fumbling issues throughout the season. I still think he'll be involved and get some yardage. But if I'm going to, you know, invest in any of the running backs from New England, it's going to be Blount and Shane Vereen, who should still be, you know, moderately productive catching the football. I think New England's going to struggle to advance, you know, especially if they meet Cincy, who they lost to in Cincinnati this year, in next week's games. I really think that they're going to have to throw the football a lot. Cincinnati's been great against the run, so I would actually like Vereen in that game if that ends up being the matchup.
Let's do this weekend studs and duds, Luke. Who do you think will have the biggest fantasy performance of the four games this weekend?
I'm going to have to go with LeSean McCoy. You know, that Saints run defense has been susceptible at times. You know, just a few weeks back in his home field, Zach Stacy ran all over them. I think McCoy's due for a really big week coming off one against Dallas. You know, a guy I'm probably a little leery of. You're not going to sit him, certainly, but I expect Eddie Lacy to really struggle, despite the fact I think Green Bay's going to have to run the ball in that cold weather a fair amount. That 49ers defense is going to be up to the challenge, and I'm still not, you know, feeling very good about Lacy's ankle. Again, he's still managed to produce. So you're probably playing him. Another guy who's been really productive, but I think falls off a little bit this week, is Ryan Matthews. As I mentioned, that Cincy defense has been really tough against the run, you know, most of the year. Matthews has been very explosive the last few weeks, but I think he's going to have a down game.
If Kansas City can put it together, and we were just talking with our friend Mike Perenio out at the Mandalay Bay in Vegas, he likes Carolina, and he thinks the AFC is maybe a little more wide open than some other folks, with maybe Denver and New England, maybe neither one making it to the Super Bowl, because we're used to seeing now a wild card team make it to the Super Bowl. If Kansas City can kind of find the magic that they had, you guys don't have a lot of Chiefs outside of Jamaal Charles really ranked high. Dwayne Bowe's the top receiver, but he's way down the chart. Are you on board with those thoughts, or do you give Kansas City a chance to maybe do something and have somebody that could score some fantasy points?
Well, yeah, no, I definitely think that they could make some noise if their defense, is up to the challenge and plays the way that they did over the first half of the season. But Tom Bailey and Justin Houston aren't 100%, and that really has been the strength of the defense to begin after the quarterback. That's where they had the most success, through the first 9 weeks. And, if they're not able to rush the passer consistently, I think they're going to give up points and struggle to win games. If they can, though, win those games, really outside of Charles, there's not much there. Dwayne Bowe was terribly inconsistent all year, and he wasn't very productive. Charles even had more receiving yards than him and catches in that offense. Alex Smith could have some nice games, but again, the weapons really aren't there, so I'd be a little leery of investing in him. He's probably one of the weaker, if not the weakest, quarterbacks, in this pool.
And look, we do got to give you credit. I mean, we don't all pick the 12 teams that are going to make the playoffs, but three of the four teams you have playing in the AFC and NFC Championship have made it. You've got Seattle and San Francisco from the preseason in the NFC. You did have Houston, like I did, against Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game. Do you still like the three selections that are still alive, or do you have somebody different now that 17 weeks have passed?
Well, as I mentioned, I definitely see Denver getting there now. I thought they would struggle more defensively than they have with the loss of Elvis Dumervil, with not having Von Miller over the first 6 weeks. I thought that might cost them a couple games and possibly a bye week, into the playoffs. I like Cincinnati's defense as a whole, a little susceptible in the secondary, so they can get beat, by teams that can throw it, which could be very dangerous if they wind up in Denver. But that run defense is strong. I still believe Andy Dalton has enough tools and certainly the weapons around him to put points on the board offensively. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Denver, Cincinnati. And, as it looks right now, with I think Philly probably being, beating New Orleans, if the 49ers were to win, I guess they wouldn't be able to play Seattle. They'd be going up to Seattle next week. So my heart's, though, with the Packers. So hopefully they can pull out the win this week, and then we get the Seattle matchup.
All right, Luke, it's always been a pleasure talking to you. Hopefully we can do it again when we get geared up for the 2014 of fall fantasy football season. Enjoy the playoffs, and thanks for your time every week here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Sounds great, guys. You guys enjoy it, too.
Take care. Luke Hoover of RotoWire and RotoWire.com. Check out their rankings. Check out their news. And it's not just football. They've got every possible fantasy sport up there as well at RotoWire.com. We're going to take a break. Can you believe that there's already a preseason college football top 25 out for next year that has been pretty accurate? We'll look at that. A couple of former Huskers have been named Associated Press All-Pro NFL. We'll tell you who they are after this.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Geico presents a man who just saved on his motorcycle insurance.
What up? Evan here. Question. You like apples? I'll get to that in a minute. First, check out my motorcycle. Flames? Yep. Saddlebags? Yep. Room for two? Negatory! Sorry, ladies. I ride solo. Now, wait for it. How you like them apples? Aw, don't cry. Insuring this beast was crazy easy. Called Geico and boom, saved enough to buy a sidecar. Now, if you dry your tears, I might just let you ride in it.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Before I went to AutoZone, my wife would yell every time I left the seat up.
Then I got the advice and tools I needed to get her car back up and running by myself. Now she leaves the seat up for me.
Stay safe this winter. Get into AutoZone for a $10 gift card by mail-in rebate on a Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Twin Pack.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
See store for...
The Discover Orange Bowl. Ohio State. Clemson. Ohio State had won 24 straight and was within one of the national championship game. Now they head to Miami looking to start a new streak. They'll go head-to-head with 12th-ranked Clemson, who finishes second in the ACC. Both average over 40 points a game, so get ready for some scoring. The Discover Orange Bowl.
Friday night, January 3rd, on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug and Danny's show. Wish it was summertime. It'd feel better. Congratulations to Levante David, who is everybody's whipping boy the first week of the season. He's been named a first-team All-Pro by the Associated Press for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He is the only NFL player in the past 20 years to have over 100 tackles, over 6 sacks, 5 interceptions, and 2 forced fumbles in one season. And Ndamukong Suh of the Detroit Lions, also first-team Associated Press All Pro. So congratulations to both of those former Huskers as they move along. Also, nationalchamps.net. They have been previewing the initial, what they're trying to do is nail what the preseason Associated Press and coaches poll football ballot will be next August when they come out. And they have been really, really good of nailing the top 10. Then it gets a little maybe shaky after that as far as positions. But they just take what everybody's looking at, returning starters, where you were in the poll last year. It really is kind of easy to figure out. They believe that Florida State will be number one. Alabama, Auburn, Stanford, and Oregon will be the top 5 teams to start next year. Michigan State, 6th. Ohio State, 8th. Central Florida, 10th. Minnesota, 24th. Notre Dame, 22nd. They don't believe Nebraska will be ranked in the preseason next year. They have Nebraska, Michigan, Iowa, and Northwestern among those receiving votes, but not landing in the top 25. The same site also has Nebraska running back Amir Abdullah, the 4th best back that will return next year, and they have Randy Gregory, 10th on the defensive lineman in the country. So hopefully they're all back and healthy and all that kind of things, Jimmy.
Yeah, kind of interesting. You know, I was looking at a couple teams, you know, like last year, Georgia was probably the big one of the biggest disappointments with all the injuries they had, because they were one of those teams in the top 5 that they predicted, and they sure did not finish out the season very strong. You know, Stanford had an up-and-down year. Boy, they, you know, they lost a game here and lost a game there, and they ended up losing the Rose Bowl. If they win the Rose Bowl, they're going to be one of those top 5 teams of this year, you know, and Baylor kind of ended the season on a tough note. You know, they were really looking good and playing well, but kind of struggled. So, yeah, kind of interesting how that top 10 will be and what teams belong and who doesn't.
Last minute here of the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug, due to Jim Langan, you talked earlier, will Alabama, after the loss last night, end up in the top 5? I think it all depends on what happens in tonight's game with Ohio State and Clemson. If Ohio State gets beat, and I believe they will, stop the presses. I can tell the point line just changed, spread just changed. But then I think Alabama will end up in the top 5 because you will have Florida State, Auburn winner, and if it's Auburn, then Auburn will be 1 and Florida State will be 2. But if it's Florida State should be 1, Michigan State should be 2, then do what you want with Auburn. But 3rd-ranked Alabama, 5th-ranked Stanford, 6th-ranked Baylor have all lost. If Ohio State loses, then they're 7th. Then the next team that won going into the postseason, South Carolina, you can't put them ahead of Alabama. So Alabama should stay in the top. And then Missouri would be next if they beat Oklahoma State tonight. And you can't put Alabama behind, in my opinion, either one of those football teams. And so I would say, yeah, Alabama looks like they're going to be 4th or 5th, even if Ohio State wins. I think maybe Alabama holds on to that number 5 slot.
You know, they lost 2 games. Alabama lost 2 games, and it was too bad that South Carolina came in there and upset Central Florida because Central Florida would have no losses. And I think Central Florida will get a vote or two close you know, somebody will have them like that five range. And it'll be interesting to whether they're Central Florida, because they proved with the one loss they had. And they beat Penn State on the road. They beat Louisville. And they beat Baylor. And that's a, that's pretty impressive when you only have the one loss. Oklahoma beat Notre Dame, you know, beat Alabama, beat Kansas State, beat Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
But, you know, Oklahoma doesn't have one loss.
Yeah, they get two. There's no doubt about it. Our Midtown Mart cooler question to get you out of here. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday we asked, which playoff format would you rather see in the NFL? That the division winners host the wild card games like they currently do, or that the team with the better record, no matter what, gets to host? 80% say they would rather see the team with the better record host. 20% go with the division winners. Our Midtown Mart cooler question taking you into the weekend. Peyton Manning was a unanimous Associated Press All-Pro selection, I believe. The only one this year. Jim Langan, is Peyton Manning the greatest quarterback of all time? Yes, no, not yet. I don't think not. You can say if they win the Super Bowl this year, maybe you hang your hat on that. But right now, is Peyton Manning the greatest quarterback of all time?
I'm just going to go with yes. You asked me a yes-no question, it's yes. But boy, has the game changed, you guys. I mean, when you start talking about some of these quarterbacks, like Johnny Unitas and Sammy Baugh, and what they did, how the game was played a little different. Now with the wide open offenses, you know, it's just impossible to say, hey, this quarterback at this time. But right now, yeah, with the way Peyton Manning, he's the best player.
I know that Tom Brady and Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw, and go on and on down the list, have multiple and four and three and four and five Super Bowl rings. I've said for years, and maybe it's just the era you grow up in, I always made the argument, even though I wasn't a Dolphin fan, that Dan Marino was the greatest quarterback. I'm talking about a guy that plays the position and had the most success, and he'd had all the records 20 years before all these guys come along. I always said that Dan Marino was the greatest quarterback of all time, but I am with you, and it would only solidify his legacy. I know Manning wants one more Super Bowl for the plain fact that his brother has two for some God reason. I mean, let's face it, folks, Super Bowl rings aren't the tell-all, because if Eli Manning has two and Peyton has one, we all know Peyton is better. So I would say yes, Peyton Manning, especially after this year, showing that he's just the most cerebral and smartest quarterback, and he shows it on the field with his ability. I think, yes, he is. So you can put your opinion out on our Midtown Mart cooler question now, anytime this weekend at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Kudos to you. You voted Johnny Manziel as the Heisman Trophy winner, and he's had the best game by far of any of those top five people.
Yeah, I think it could be that Tommy Frazier and Eddie George kind of comparison, where Tommy showed in the bowl game that maybe he should have won the Heisman. That might be, I said, Jameis Winston better step it up on Monday night and lead Florida State to the title. Folks, we want to thank Mike Perenio of the Mandalay Bay, director of the Race and Sportsbook, Luke Hoover, for joining us from RotoWire, former Husker Monty Kratzenstein, for breaking down Nebraska football. Among our guests Monday, Nebraska wrestling coach Mark Manning. They're ranked 8th in the country, folks. We're going to talk with the coach among our guests and preview the national championship game and update where we're at in the Doug and Daddy Bowl Bonanza coming up Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.